This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Verses 1 to 7. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." This is God's word. Thank you. So if you'd like to, we're in Revelation chapter 2. We're only looking at the one phrase that Jesus uses, but we will be jumping around a bit, so have a bookmark ready. As I began last week's message, I'll begin this week with a story. There was a man who was climbing a mountain. He was rock climbing and he didn't have any gear or anything. He was one of those really crazy people who climb mountains without any gear. And he was doing pretty well until he reached one point and out from underneath his foot, the rock he was standing on, crumbled, and he slipped, and he fell, and he fell, and he fell. The mountain was not entirely vertical, and so he would hit somewhere along the way and tumble, and until he bumped off and started free falling, and then landed on a tree. A small tree that had grew out from the side of the mountain. And there he was, unconscious for a bit of time. When he finally came to, he realized that one of the major injuries he had suffered, he actually didn't feel much pain all over, except that he had lost his sight. His eyes had been punctured and he was now blind and couldn't see. And so there he was in the tree, suspended from the side of a mountain all by himself. And he did the only thing that he thought he could do. He called for help. So he started yelling out. He said, "Help! Help! Help!" But there was no response. And this went on for hours and hours. "Help!" Until suddenly, he called out for help. And he heard a voice. And the voice said, "Hello. I am an angel. I have been sent by God to help you." And he said, "Thank you so much. I need help. I'm stuck on this tree on the side of this mountain." And the angel said, "The message from God to you is, roll off the tree." And he said, "What do you mean, roll off the tree? I'm suspended on this mountain. I can't." And the more he asked questions, there was no response. The angel was gone. He thought about it, and he thought about it, and he wrestled with this and wrestled with this. That God had sent an angel to tell him to roll off the tree, but there he was on the side of a mountain and he can't see. Well, about a week later, he was discovered. He was on the tree. He decided not to listen to what he had heard. But what he didn't realize, because he had been blinded, when the people discovered him, they saw he was indeed on the side of a tree, on the side of a mountain. He was indeed hanging on a tree. about 6 feet from the ground. If he had just listened to the voice of God that had spoken to him through the angel, he would have been rescued. You and I need to come to a point in our own walk with the Lord where we learn that listening to God is our only option for survival. Jesus, about 16 times, there was a couple of overlap between the Gospels, said this, "He who has an ear, let him hear." Now last week, we looked at that and discovered that when Jesus said that, it was always in connection to a message that was delivered. Jesus never said that without some sort of teaching that he was trying to teach to the people. So he would teach something, you know, the parable of the four soils, or the teaching of John the Baptist being the greatest, but whoever believes in him is greater than he. It was always connected to a teaching, and then he'd say, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Last week, we also looked at how some will have ears to hear, and some will not. When you go about spreading the gospel and sharing truth, you will come across those who receive it and those who don't. We should be prepared for that. Finally, last week we looked at that if we have ears to hear, that is, if God has given us the ability to understand his truth, we should be praising him always. Because without his intervention, we would not be able to hear. That's going to transition to where we're going to pick up. We're going to shift the focus. This morning, we are going to assume that we all have ears to hear. Now, there may be somebody here this morning who has not yet been born again, who has not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. This morning, the same message is for you, that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, if you confess your sins and call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. God will give you ears to hear. But this morning, we're going to ask the question, what does it mean to have ears to hear? And we're going to look at this phrase, piece by piece. So in Revelation chapter 2, in the book of Revelation, there are seven churches. And Jesus gives a separate message to each of the churches. Yet every single message he gives, he always concludes that message with this phrase, "He who has ears to hear, has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church." And that is found, we'll just start with the first church, the church of Ephesus, in verse 7. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church." We'll start with the first part of the phrase, "He who has an ear." And we'll just add the other part that he says in other places, "He who has an ear to hear." Now everybody say that with me. He who has an ear to hear. What does that phrase mean? That phrase means that we have continual dependence on God's enabling work. He who has an ear to hear means we have continual dependence on God's enabling work. Because, as we said last week, without the work of God in our lives, we would not have the ability to know what God is saying. Without God's work in our lives, without God coming to us, we would not naturally know what God is saying, what that truth is. Turn, if you will, to Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, God is on the move, spreading his kingdom. His people are on the move, delivering that message. And you come to hear where they are traveling along. And in verse 11, we'll pick up, the disciples are sailing from Troas. They ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis. And there they came to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. Now, we're picking up here in verse 13, chapter 16 of the book of Acts. "And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there." So they gathered. They didn't have a church building like we do so much. They had synagogues, but there was also places that they would meet outside, and they met by the river. "And a certain woman named Lydia heard us. So they saw this as an opportunity. These women were there. They wanted to share the gospel to them. So they spoke to these women who were there. In verse 14, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. Look at this. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Who was the one that opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul? It was the Lord. And when you and I open our Bible, when you and I hear a message on the radio from the pulpit on a Sunday, when you and I read a book that is written from a Christian perspective, if there's any truth in that book, if you have submitted to God to work in your life, God will open you up and enable you to understand that truth. Praise the Lord for that. This is something that we need to pray for. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul is actually praying that God does this for the disciples in the Colossian church. He says in verse 9, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." He wants God to fill the Colossian people with a knowledge of His will for all spiritual understanding. God enables us to understand His truth. Now, that doesn't mean that God just arbitrarily picks and chooses whom He wants to give ears to hear. God gives the ability in harmony with a person's faith to understand. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." But we don't have the natural ability to understand what God is saying. We must ask God to give us the ability to understand. I work with people who speak a language I don't speak. I work with Amish folk. They speak a language called Pennsylvania Dutch. It is a hodgepodge mixture of Dutch and German and English sprinkled in there. And they'll speak it on occasion while I'm there. They speak English fluently, but they'll speak this on occasion, I think, when they don't want me to know what they're saying. And I've learned a lot over the years. And, you know, one day they might say to me something, "Es wundert mir, was bist du und du?" And when they say that, at first, I had no idea what they mean. I had to ask them to tell me what they just said. And they turned and they told me, they said, "I wonder, what are you doing?" And so now I know that "Es wundert mir, was bist du und du" means "it wonders me," literally. What are you doing? It's the same thing with the Lord. You read something, you hear something, you don't understand. You go to God in humility and openness and you say, "I want to know, Lord, teach me, give me ears to hear, tell me what you mean by this." And the Lord takes that truth and He tells you what it means. It's a wonderful thing to know the truth of God as He works in our hearts. And we need that, because you go to the average Christian bookstore and you see all these books all over and they all look spectacular and dazzling. But unless you have ears to hear, unless you know what the truth of God is, you won't know whether this book that's being highlighted or that book being highlighted reflects what God really teaches us. Amen? We need to have ears to hear. So pray every time you open your Bible that God gives you ears to hear. Pray every time you get on your knees to pray to God that God gives you ears to hear. Pray that when you are walking about your day that you are open to God working in your circumstances, speaking His truth to you by His Spirit. Amen? Amen. Secondly, the first part of the phrase is "he who has ears to hear." We're back in Revelation if you want to look at this phrase. The first part was "he who has ears to hear." The second part says "let him hear." Everybody say it with me. Let him hear. Did you know it's one thing to have the ability to understand the truth of God? It's another thing to actually utilize that ability. You know what I'm saying? Many of you came here in a vehicle. It's one thing to have a car to be able to drive. But until you get into the car, turn the key on, and drive, It's pointless. It's just collecting dust in your garage. I once went to an antique store and I bought an orchiana. An orchiana is this unique flute instrument. I wanted to learn how to play it. That was years ago. I don't know how to play it. It's in my drawer. It's a beautiful instrument. But it does no good if I don't learn how to play it. Amen? You may be given ears to hear, but Jesus has to emphasize the point. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. You need to use the ability that God has given you. This command, let him hear, was emphasized by God in Matthew chapter 17. When Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to the mountain and he was transfigured before them, God wanted to stress the point that they probably should listen after his clothes were changed and his face became dazzling. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While they were still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Okay? At this point, I'm sure they're paying attention. Okay? If you see Jesus exalted, glorified, transfigured, Moses, Elijah were dead, now they're there, this big cloud is around you, you're probably not, like, sleeping. Okay? All right, I hope we're all not sleeping right now. Okay, we need a little bit of a cloud, a Shekinah glory in the temple right now. So, the cloud enveloped them, and the voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him! Oh, okay. I got it now. How many of us go about our daily lives as believers with the glory of God not around us but in us? And we're not hearing him. We need to hear him. Sometimes we just go about the motions of Christianity without actually listening to God at work in our lives. I heard a story of Franklin D. Roosevelt, who got pretty tired of all the formalities of his presidency. And so there was this one time when he was greeting people, he was visiting somewhere, and all the people were lined up to greet him and shake his hands, and he'd shake their hand, and they'd look at him with a big smile on their face, and he'd smile back and shake his hands, and they'd say, good to see you, President, Mr. President, we love you, Mr. President, you're great, Mr. President. And he'd say to them, I murdered my grandmother this morning. And they'd say to him, great job, you're doing a great job, we love what you do. And person after person, I murdered my grandmother this morning. And then at the end of the line was this foreign diplomat of a shady country and came up to him and shaked his hand. And he looked at him and said, hello there, I murdered my grandmother this morning. And the shady diplomat turned to him and whispered, me too. And sometimes we're just going through the motions of our faith in God. And we're just getting on our knees and praying, and we're opening our Bible and praying, and Lord, this, and God help me there, and are we hearing him? Are we listening? Are we taking it in? Have we asked if these things, the things that steal our attention, your work, our schooling, things that are necessary, are they stealing our attention? The news, is it stealing our attention? Or is it driving us closer to God? Social media. Are we listening more to God working through that? Or are we acting? Are we letting it be a distraction? Whatever the thing is, whatever shiny object is catching our attention, we need to pay attention. We need to hear him. The next part of the phrase here, it says, going back to Revelation, he who has an ear, let him hear. And then the next phrase, the third phrase, it says, what the Spirit says. Everybody say it with me. What the Spirit says. Now, I think it's interesting that in Revelation, Jesus adds that phrase. All through the Gospels, he didn't say that. In the Gospels, whenever he said this phrase, he would say, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Period. Here in Revelation 7 times, after Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit is given, he says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. And that is because when Jesus, before he was crucified, before he ascended into heaven, he promised that he would send the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, to dwell in his people, to guide us into all truth. You'll see that in John chapter 16, if you want to go there briefly. Jesus is teaching us about how he's going to send the Spirit in John chapter 16, picking up in verse 5. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things, you have sorrow. To you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So he's talking about the Spirit. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, here it is, verse 13. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. So Jesus is saying that he is going to send the Holy Spirit into your life. When you believed in him, he sent the Holy Spirit into your life to guide you into all truth. So whatever truth is there, come from the Bible, the preacher, the radio, the world around you, whatever truth is there, the Spirit of God will guide you if you are open and willing to listen and hear him. The Spirit of truth will guide you into that truth. Unbelievers don't have that. You realize that? A person who has not been born again does not have the Holy Spirit to guide them into all truth. Now, the Spirit will guide them to the truth, but until they receive the Lord by faith and be saved, they won't have the indwelling promise of the Spirit to guide them through the truth. And this is, and why am I saying this? Why is this important? Listen up here. Okay, we need a cloud moment. Listen up. It is one thing to know what God said. It is another thing to know what God means. It is one thing to know what God said. It is another thing to know what God means. There are a lot of people who have more of the Bible memorized than all of us put together in this room. And they're liberal professors in universities that are teaching students how not to believe in the God in the Bible. It is one thing to know what God said. It is another thing to know what God means. The only way you can know what God means is to have the Spirit relating to the person of God and who he is. I'll give an example. There was a couple in their kitchen, and the wife said to the husband, "Honey, I need you to go to the store. I need you to buy a gallon of milk, and if they have eggs, get 6. So the husband goes to the store, and he comes back, and he plops 6 gallons of milk on the table. And the wife shakes her head and says, "You didn't listen to me." And he said, I did listen to you. She said, "You know, I just read this morning that they say that women speak twice as many words per day than men. I think that's because the husbands aren't listening and we have to repeat ourselves every time." And he says, "No, I heard you. You said it. You said it. Get a gallon of milk, and if they have eggs, get 6. So I went to the store to get a gallon of milk, and they had eggs. So I got 6 gallons of milk. You see what I mean? If the husband knew his wife at all, he would know that she did not need 6 gallons of milk to make tonight's dessert. She needed 6 eggs. You and I have the truth available in abundance. Praise the Lord. But it's one thing to know what God said. It's another thing to know what God means. And you go on the radio and you hear these preachers and they say, "The Bible says that whatever you ask in the Father's name, if you have faith, you will receive." So if you want a new Lamborghini, if you want a nice bank account, if you want health, perfect health always, no matter what, you'll get it. Is that what God meant? There are liberal people who will quote the Bible at you and they'll say, you know, the Bible says, judge not, lest you be judged. Can't judge me. Is that what God meant? No, Jesus meant that make sure if you make a judgment that you know that it's going to be used against you. Don't look at the speck in your brother's eye when you have a plank in your own eye. Judge with righteous judgment, but the measure you use will be measured to you. So make sure you're not a hypocrite. Because later Jesus will say, judge with righteous judgment. The point is this. The Spirit of God is given to us to know the heart of God. And until we know the heart of God, we will struggle to know what God is saying. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Are we quenching the Spirit through worldliness and disobedience? Is the Spirit of God of every real presence and person in our walk with the Lord? Finally, the final part of the phrase in Revelation. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Everybody say with me. To the churches. Now, I think this is interesting. Jesus is speaking to seven churches. But every message that he sends to the church is different. Each church had their own unique, specific situation. So this phrase, to the church, means that God has something to say specifically to our situation that may be different from somebody else's. You see that? When he goes to, and if your Bible has nice headings, you can see this. When he talks to the church of Ephesus, they are the church that has left their first love. So my Bible calls them the loveless church. You go to the church in Smyrna in verse 8, and my Bible says that the persecuted church. You go to the church in Pergamos, and that's the compromising church. You go to the church in Thyatira, that's the corrupt church. You go to the church in Sardis, that's the dead church. You go to the church in Philadelphia, that's the faithful church. And then we all know the church of Laodicea was the needing a microwave church, is lukewarm. Each church had their own unique situation, and God spoke to that church, to their situation that was different from the other. So the point is this. In our walk with the Lord and how God is leading us, God has something specifically for us to know that is different from the next person. Because every person's circumstances are different. And every person's situation is different. And so God wants to take His truth by His Spirit, guide you into His truth in that specific situation. For example, in the Bible, you have the example of Timothy and Titus. You have Paul circumcising one, Timothy, and not circumcising another, Titus. The Bible teaches that circumcision means nothing as far as our eternal salvation with God. It does not save us. But Paul saw, as the Spirit led him, that there was opportunity to further the gospel by circumcising Timothy, and there was an opportunity to further the gospel by not circumcising Titus, so that the Gentiles knew that they did not have to be circumcised to be saved, and so that the Jews knew that this gospel was for the Jews. And he had to be in tune with the Spirit working in their lives to know this. When I take a step back, I think of today's day. We talk of the situation of the world. And the situation in China, for example. The Christians in China are undergoing severe persecution by oppressive governments. Now the question is the Spirit of God moving in the midst of the people in China and telling them that they need to band together, take up their rifles, storm the government central system, and take it over by force? That's what we did in the American Revolution, basically. We had an oppressive government that was harming us, trying to stop us. The preachers rallied together, the faithful ones, and they took off their black robes and they showed the soldier garment and they took their arms and they said, anybody who's willing to fight for freedom, follow me. And they marched out and they fought in the battles and they gained freedom. And we love this country as a result. Praise the Lord. When you think about the differences there, we need to be very, very sure that we are not imposing what God is asking one people group to do on another. The church in China is thriving right now. That doesn't mean that the government shouldn't be stopped. That doesn't mean that we should not seek to overthrow oppressive government to protect lives that are dying and being killed. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And you may look at another believer's life. And you might say, oh, they need to do X, Y, and Z. And if it's something that's not clearly laid out in the Scriptures, you might be going according to your own experience, but their experience may be different. They may be going through something very unique, and God knows what the circumstances are. And so you and I need to be so close to the Lord, humble before Him, that we walk in the specific path God has laid out for us. Think about when it comes to families. I know God has called me to be a dad, and God has not called me to be a mom. Can't do it. Can't do it. God has not called me to be a grandmother. I know that for a fact. Think of a spiritual gifts in a church. God has called me to preach. I know that for a fact. I believe that with all my heart for the rest of my life. God has called me to preach. God did not call me with the gift of administration. My wife often has to remind me that my calendar is 2 months behind. Typically, her calendar is 2 months ahead, so we kind of balance out in the end. You see, when it comes to the church, you have been given a specific gift by God to use in the body of Christ. You may say, well, I can't preach, I can't get up there and teach at the podium, I must not be able to serve in the church. Absolutely not. God has equipped you specifically so that you can serve the body of Christ if you are in tune with God's will for your life. He wants to use you in the church. He wants you to be a part of the body of Christ. That doesn't mean you have to come up here and talk to a group of people. That means you might be mingling among individuals, sharing your specific gift to another. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. The question at the end of the day is, we may be hearing God, but are we listening? Are we listening? It's always been a scary question for me, but I wonder if Faith Fellowship Church was the 8th church on this list, what would the Spirit be saying? Judging by the faces of some, we're uncomfortable. I'm thankful for the Lord's work in our midst. I'm thankful for the Lord being with us, and He will guide us if we seek Him together, faithfully, and use us for His kingdom growing in this community, if we have ears to hear. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, as we come to this table, I pray that You would lead us and guide us into all truth. For You are the Spirit of truth, and Your people are blessed. Thank You, Father, for dying for our sins so that we know Your truth. And I pray if anyone here this morning has not trusted in You as Lord and Savior, they would take this moment at the table to remember that. Thank You, Father, and we pray this in the name of Jesus our Lord, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.